open your Bibles, please, to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, and we're going to be reading some verses from Genesis chapter 6. It's a wonderful thing as we come to the Word of God and study it and seek to speak from its blessed pages with the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit of God, just how much time can be spent in just a few brief chapters. It seems we've spoken from Genesis now for 10 or 12 times, I don't know just how many, but we've only gotten as far as the 6th chapter, and I am sure we have not exhausted it by any means. But I would like to look tonight at this wonderful vessel that was constructed by God's man of faith, the man called Noah. And reading from the 14th verse of Genesis chapter 6, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make in the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten. Thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, or according to all that God had commanded him, so did he." Notice verse 1 of the 7th chapter. "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Verse 11. "In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened." Verse 21. "And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beasts, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostril was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died." Turn to Ephesians, please, chapter 1. The epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 1, and verses 1 through 5. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Verse 11. "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." I know that the Lord will bless to your heart and mind tonight the reading of his precious word. Shall we bow in a moment of prayer? Our Father in heaven, we have been looking into thy holy word tonight. And we ask thee that thou wilt give the needed help through thy Holy Spirit and bring to our hearts the message that thou wouldst have us hear. O grant our Father that our hearts may be open before thee and that we may hear thy voice. Illumine the blessed page of Holy Writ tonight. And grant our Father that thou wilt suit a blessing to each heart here. Perhaps there is one, or possibly more, who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. How we pray for their salvation tonight through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as we commit this little service to thee in our Savior's wonderful name. Amen. As I was studying about Noah and about the ark, I was absolutely amazed at the wonderful detail that is revealed to us in the Word of God regarding this subject. You remember a week or two ago when we were speaking about Noah, God's man of faith, a man whom God called perfect. He was perfect before God. He had a wonderful witness and a wonderful testimony before the Lord and before the people of his generation. What a generation we find this man in. A generation of wickedness upon the earth. It says the whole earth was corrupt and full of violence. And it repented God that he had made man. May I pause for a moment and say, respectfully, I wonder, as God looks down upon the scene of earth today, if it repented God in that day that he had made man because of the wickedness that he saw upon the face of the earth. Oh, how the heart of God must be grieved as he looks down upon the world in which you and I are living today. The sin and degradation. Not only this, but the fact that man is daring to defy God on every hand. And as we heard mentioned just a week or two ago from this platform, we actually have in the world in which we live today those who are worshippers of Satan. Temples have been set up, and there are high priests to Satan and ministers who are actually propagating the gospel of the wicked one, Satan. Oh, beloved, if it were not for the long-suffering of God, wouldn't we imagine that he would just with one sweep wipe out the whole wicked world in which we're living today? And this is the type of situation that Noah was found in. But oh, how beautifully, as we read of this man, the Word of God describes him in such a wonderful way. And as I mentioned, when we were talking about Noah, it seems that we've not heard a thing of him until he was 500 years old. But don't you imagine that up until that time, he must have walked with God? We talked about the genealogy of this man, his great-grandfather Enoch, a man who was so righteous and so holy. He walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And then his grandfather, I believe it was the great Methuselah, who lived 969 years, the oldest man recorded in the Word of God. And then his father Lamech. I imagine that he must have brought Noah up in the fear of God. And here was a man ready to listen to the voice of God, ready to obey. You notice what that last verse of the fifth chapter reads, or rather the sixth chapter. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. He didn't question God and say, well now, God, why should I do this that you're requesting? Why should I build this ark? What's the sense to it? This is human nature, isn't it? Oh, today, as we seek to witness to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, the first question that comes to their mind and their lips is, why? Why? And the first thing they begin to do is try to justify themselves. But oh, thank God for everyone in this room tonight who is justified by faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now let's talk about the ark for a moment. Who planned the ark? Well, the idea of the ark did not begin with Noah or his family. It would be preposterous to think that, wouldn't it? Why would he want to build an ark? Why, it had never rained upon the face of the earth, and we read that God watered the earth with a mist. And rain was something they knew nothing about. And Noah lived not near any water. So it was not the invention of man. And then, it wasn't because Noah perceived that there was impending judgment to fall upon the face of the earth. Although I'm sure that like Lot of old, he must have vexed his righteous soul from day to day as he listened to the terrible conversation and saw the conduct of the world about him. And as I think of God's commendation of this man, I think to myself, oh, that we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ might have this commendation from God, that he believed God, he walked with God, and he was perfect before God. You say we're human. We cannot be perfect. But oh, how we can try. How we can try before God to live lives that are well-pleasing in his sight. And this man certainly did. Because God witnessed to it that he was a wonderful man. A just man. And he walked perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. No, I don't believe Noah would have built the ark until God told him. Because he imagined impending judgment coming upon the earth, there was no hint that Noah anticipated a flood of waters upon the earth. Before the flood came, or Noah was given the instructions for building the ark, the idea for his salvation and for his family existed only in the mind of God. But all this tells us of the wonderful God that we have, a God who is omniscient, a God who is omnipotent. You know, before Noah was ever born, or before the first man was created upon the earth, these things were in the plan of God. What does that remind you and me of tonight? Oh, doesn't it remind us of the Lord Jesus Christ? And you know, the ark is an antitype of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the ark speaks of safety. And the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of safety. The ark was a warning. As God instructed Noah in the building of this ark, the warning was given that there was a flood coming upon the earth, that there was danger and destruction ahead. And there was warning. And oh, beloved, how God in his precious word warns of impending judgment for the world in which we're living today. Yes, the very elements themselves one day will melt with fervent heat. We read in the second epistle to Peter in the third chapter. And thus the ark is a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Savior he is. What a wonderful shelter he is. And that's why I asked our brother if he would give out that little chorus that I can remember singing when I was a child of 5 in the children's meeting, an intent campaign. I'm in the ark. Hallelujah. I'm in the ark to stay. Hallelujah. For he lifted me from the miry clay. I'm in the ark to stay. You know, I often think, and I'm going ahead now of our reading, but I often think when God told Noah to go in, and he entered into that ark, and God closed the door, he was safe. He was safe from impending judgment. He was safe from the doom that was about to come upon the antediluvian world. God shut him in. What a picture of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, God shut me in, and I'm safe in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. That ye may know, Peter says, or rather John, that ye have eternal life, and I know tonight that I have eternal life through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary, you remember his last words upon the cross were, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and yielded up his spirit. The work was done. The price was paid. The penalty had been borne by another. And the guilty sinner was free. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. May I pause here for just a moment and ask you, my friend, which part of that verse do you find yourself in tonight? He or she that believeth on the Son, H-A-T-H, hath everlasting life. When will that end? It never will end. It never will end. In Christ's salvation rest secure. Yes, as secure as the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So which half do you find yourself in tonight? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I have noticed in the Holy Scriptures some of the most wonderful verses are one or two syllable words at the most. So simple, so easy to understand. Oh, how plain God has made his way of salvation. Even as the scripture says, that a fool, though a wayfaring man, should not err therein. Let's look again at this of the ark. And you know, before the foundations of the earth were laid, God foreknew. God knew the wickedness of man that was to take place upon the earth. He knew when he created Adam that Adam was going to disobey and that he was going to fall into sin. You know, one of the things that people who are unsaved try to use as a defense when you speak to them about the Savior, they try to say, well, how can a righteous God, a holy God, a God of love, how can he send someone to hell? How can he consign a human being to the blackness of darkness in hell for all eternity? Well, you know, in John 3 and 16, there's a word that gives the answer to that. And that word is whosoever. You know, God has given to you and me a free will, a will of our own, a will to choose, a will to accept, or a will to reject. And sad to say, there are so many in the world today that will not accept the Savior, but reject the Lord Jesus Christ as the only provision for eternal life. I wonder, can you look back to that time in your life when you accepted, when you received the Lord Jesus Christ as a lost, guilty sinner? Oh, I remember the night God saved me. My, I was disturbed. I had been upset for almost a week. Under conviction of sin, I heard the gospel from the time I was a baby. And I was under deep conviction of sin, 13 years old and not yet saved. And I remember the last night, the night God saved me. I remember going into that little store building. That's where the gospel hall was, in a little store building. And I remember going in the door. There was one thought on my mind. This may be your last chance. This may be the last opportunity. You may never hear the gospel again. You're still without Christ. Oh, how I struggled that night. How I struggled. But I'll tell you something. It wasn't until I stopped struggling that I realized the mistake that I was making. Oh, I tried so hard. I wanted to be saved. But near the close of the meeting, after the closing prayer, the invitation hymn was being sung. O sinner, the Savior is calling for thee. Long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. O turn while the Savior in mercy is waiting. And steer for the harbor light, for how do you know? But your soul may be drifting. over the dead line tonight. I said, Lord, that's me. That's me. I'm lost. And I may be drifting over the dead line tonight. You know what? When I realized I was lost, the next thought came to me was that there was a Savior ready to save me. You see, I had given up. I knew the Holy Scriptures. I believe at that age I could have gotten on the platform and preached an acceptable sermon. Preached the gospel. Because a couple of times I had made a profession of salvation. I said a profession. I didn't have the possession. I got tired of people buttonholing me at the end of the meeting. John, are you saved yet? And so I decided there would be an end to that. And I made up a story. But all that night, it just seemed like it was God and me alone in that chapel. I didn't see anyone else. The tears were flowing. And I said, Lord, I am lost. There's no hope for me. The cross work of Christ just seemed to open up. The message that I had heard that night, the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross for my sin. My sin. The sins of the world, yes, but my sin. Oh, I said, Lord, I see it now. I understand it. I believe it. I'll take you at your word. It'll be 43 years in November. He's sweeter as the days go by. Are you in the ark of safety tonight? Are you? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? And are you among those who have believed to the saving of your soul? He that believeth hath everlasting life. Yes, God knew. He foreknew the judgment that was to come upon this earth. You know those scriptures that we were reading in Ephesians? It tells us about the inheritance of the believer. They take me back to a bygone, a past eternity. And if we read Proverbs chapter 28 tonight, and I believe beginning at the 22nd verse, we read there of the Lord Jesus Christ described as wisdom. And who could be the effulgence and the completeness of wisdom as the Lord Jesus Christ? And it says, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight. The Lord Jesus Christ, in a past eternity, daily the delight of the Father. But he says, my delights were with the sons of men. Yes, them he foreknew, them he did also predestinated before the foundation of the world. You know, predestination doesn't bother me at all. Some people say, well, you know, if you're going to be saved, you'll be saved, and if you're going to be lost, you'll be lost. Not so. Whosoever believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But you know why predestination doesn't annoy me? Because I know that God would not be God if he did not know everything. He's omniscient. He knows everything. The end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. And he wouldn't be God if he did not know. Without beginning and without end. Remember the one who said to Abraham, I am. He said, whom shall I say hath sent me? I am. Not I was or I will be. I am hath sent me. He is the great. I am. And before the foundation of the world, he planned the wonderful plan of salvation. And we hear the words of the Lord Jesus, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O God. What was that will? That will was that he might become yours and my ark of safety. But let's go back now as we look at this ark. It says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Now I understand that gopher wood is very similar to the cypress wood that we find here in Florida. It is almost indestructible as far as moisture is concerned. And they say that this wood can last for hundreds of years. And some of these trees attain a very old age. But be that as it may, God said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Now, we can't go into all the details tonight. We don't have time. But you know, it's a wonderful study to sit down and get the dimensions of this ark. If we use the accepted Jewish measure, a cubit was about 18 inches, a foot and a half. So that would make the ark about 450 feet long. Now imagine, remember, Noah was human. He believed God. There wasn't a doubt in his mind. And when God told him to make the ark, there was no doubt. There was no questioning. He did it. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, these are approximates now, 45 feet high. I understand that by modern shipbuilding measurements today, this is a perfect measurement for safety, for everything. Even by modern shipbuilding standards today. But imagine, God tells Noah there on the dry land to build a ship, an ark. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Then he told him to put a window in the top. Oh, I'm sure there was a real purpose for that. I'm sure that God didn't want Noah to be able to look out and see what was taking place in that judgment that followed. But you know, it says there was a door. He told him to put a door in the ark, and he told him just where to put it. But you notice there are no measurements given for the door. And I think that's very significant. Of course, looking at it in a very natural and practical way, we know that the door had to be large enough so the largest animal that was going to go into that ark could get through. But as I think of the ark as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think of the words of the Savior, I am the door. And you know, there's no measurement, is there? There's room enough for every sinner to enter in. No measurement for the door. How significant the things that God does. But here's Noah told to build this great big thing. And I'm sure in the modern vernacular, people today would say, well, it's a monstrosity. What for? What's he going to do with it? You know, God gave him the exact dimensions and the exact specifications. It wasn't man-made. It was made by Noah. But all the plans and specifications were ordained by God. And it had to be right. It had to be perfect. And at a given time, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 7th, 2nd month, notice the detail here. For 100 years or more, Noah was a preacher of righteousness, we find in the New Testament. He warned those all around them of coming judgment. What did they do? They did what people are doing today. They laughed. They scorned. They mocked. They ridiculed him. He warned of coming judgment. And he pointed to the ark, that which God had told him to build, which would be the only refuge from the judgment that was going to descend upon the poor old world. And now, after all these years, what a time it must have been to build this ark. I don't know if Noah had any help. He must have had, but regardless, he followed the plan that God gave him. You know, that brings another lesson to me. And may it speak to our hearts tonight. I wonder if you and I, before God, are seeking to follow the plan that God has for our lives. Sometimes the plan doesn't please us too well. I'm sure there are many times while Noah was building this ark, he thought, well, oh, this seems so ridiculous. This seems so foolish. I'm working so hard. And what hope? But we don't read of anything like that, do we? Noah believed God. I wonder if you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, are willing to trust our lives and the plan for our lives completely in the hand of the Savior. Oh, may this speak to your heart and mine. Noah followed God's plan. He obeyed God, and he built the ark just the way God told him. Now, you know, as we preach the gospel today, men at large laugh, they mock. Even Peter In 2 Peter, I believe it is, he says, in the last day, scoffers shall come. And they'll mock the fact. They'll say, where is the promise of his coming? And I'm sure they must have said to Noah, where's this flood you're talking about? Why, it's impossible. How can it be? Most of them have probably never seen a canoe or a rowboat. And here's Noah building a great big ship, 450 feet long. But to Noah, this was obedience. Obedience to God and the will of God. He was submissive. Oh, that you and I might be submissive to God. That we might be submissive to the Word of God and to the will of God. And before God, seek to follow the plan that He has for our lives. The 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day, all the fountains of the great deep broken up. And here we see a marvelous display again of God's wondrous creation. You remember in our lessons on Genesis, we spoke of the might and grandeur and wonder of Almighty God. And of the very fact that by the word of his mouth, the world came into being. And here we see God using this very creation to bring this judgment upon the earth. Judgment that was sure. Judgment that was positive. Judgment that was inescapable. And it says, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up. And the windows of heaven were opened. How astounded the people must have been as they saw these great drops coming down from the sky. They had never seen this before. But where was Noah? Ah, he was sheltered. He was in the ark. God had told him, come thou and all thy house into the ark. And Noah obeyed. The ark was finished according to God's plan. Noah entered in. God closed the door. Noah was safe. And as those flood waters rose, and the rain descended from heaven, that ark was lifted. Lifted, 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 higher and higher. But those within were safe. Oh, that reminds me of the refuge that is yours and mine in Christ tonight. Yes, we're sheltered in the fold, in the ark. Where no one can destroy. Where no one can shake us out. We're safe in the arms of Jesus. Oh, have you entered into the door of the ark? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Maybe you're saying what I did when I was young. I used to say, well, I'm young, I have lots of time. Mother and Dad are saved, and I've always been a good boy, and I've gone to Sunday school, and I've done the best I can. I think maybe the Lord will be gracious to me at that day. Oh, how Satan tries to use these arguments and puts them into our minds to turn our eyes away and cause us to forget. But thank God, the seeking sinner and the seeking Savior are bound to meet. Noah obeyed God, and he entered in. And he was safe. Safe from the judgment. Safe from the flood. And as the ark rose, judgment all around. Everything that had breath, the word of God said, died. It died. How this reminds us of the judgment that is coming upon this poor world one of these days. And you know, once the Lord Jesus Christ returns, once the shout is heard, and this is what we're looking for, isn't it? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain, who are in Christ, shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. All will be saved. For all eternity. And does this not again remind us of the ark? Judgment never descended until Noah and his family and all those animals that God had told them to bring in. Judgment did not happen until they were safe in the ark. Beloved, judgment will not come to this world until we're all safe in the glory. The shout may be heard tonight.
Are you ready?
If the Lord Jesus should come tonight,
are you prepared? Are you in the aisle? Are you safe? I'd like to read a few verses regarding the judgment that's coming in 2 Thessalonians.
2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. Now take note. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what plain words. What a warning tonight to any who are without Christ. Noah warned those in the time of the flood. Judgment is coming. And I'm building this ark according to God's plan. And if you'll enter in, you'll be safe. And you know, God has made the way of salvation so easy and so plain for you and for me. Just receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, as we acknowledge our sin and our guilt, we're born of God, we're safe in that ark. Safe from impending judgment, which is just as sure as the fact that the sun comes up every morning in the west and sets in the east. Listen, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Verse 12, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Noah obeyed God. He entered into the ark that God told him to prepare. And you know, I was thinking this afternoon as I was meditating. Some people might say, well, you know, Noah was saved by works. No, he wasn't. Because you know, Noah didn't work until he got his orders. Noah didn't work until he exercised the faith that God wanted him to exercise. Noah believed God. And because he believed God, he prepared the ark to the saving of his soul. And isn't it the same with your salvation and mine? We cannot work our way to heaven. We cannot get to heaven because we go to church and go to Sunday school and because we're honest with our fellow man and because we do the best we can and we pray and we give. This doesn't save us. No. God isn't expecting any work, any merit from us until we come to him as a poor lost sinner and in believing faith receive his lovely son as our personal Savior. Oh, what a beautiful picture of our blessed Savior. He went to Calvary and there nails pierced his hands and his feet. Crown of thorns upon his head. And in those 3 dark hours upon the cross, and the very sun that he had created refused to shine, God made to meet on him the judgment of my sins and yours. And there he paid the price completely, for he said, it is finished. God is satisfied with the work of Calvary. And there's nothing you and I can do to merit that salvation, but trust him and believe on him as our personal Savior. Then we can work. Then we can do his will. This is what Paul was speaking about when he said, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. It's very simple, isn't it? Oh, if you're here without Christ tonight, won't you trust him right now? Won't you ask him to come into your heart? Confess your sins. Receive him as your Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I expected tonight that I would just be bringing a message for Christians. But it seems that through the Spirit of God, I just felt exercised to bring in the gospel. You know, when we preach the gospel, it rejoices our hearts, doesn't it? And when we hear the gospel, and when we hear of the wondrous salvation that God has provided in the person of the Lord Jesus, it rejoices our hearts. Aren't you glad you know Christ tonight? Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad that if we should hear the shout tonight, you'll be caught up to be with the Lord forever? Or are you afraid? You're not ready. You haven't entered within the ark. You're still outside the door. You know, there might have been someone standing right on the edge of the ark that hadn't entered the door. They were lost. No, I sometimes think of boys and girls and young people, men and women, who have been so very close, they've almost touched the hem of his garment, but they haven't done it. They haven't made the decision, and they're lost forever and forever. What about you tonight? Do you know my Savior? Do you have peace within? Are your sins forgiven? If not, there's no time like tonight. There may never be another meeting in this chapel. We don't know. The Lord Jesus may come at any time. And if he comes tonight, I can say, like Paul of old, I'll be absent from this body and present with the Lord. Forever and forever. What a blessed hope is this. Shall we pray? Our loving Father, in that precious and adorable name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank thee for the ark of safety tonight in Christ Jesus. We thank thee for all who have entered in. We thank thee for all who can say, I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep me until that day. We remember Job of old could say this, Lord God, if there should be even one here tonight that is not sure of their soul's salvation, may they not leave this place until they have trusted Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior. Then, O God, speak to each one of our hearts. May we realize what thy plan is for our lives. We know that thy plan is that we may glorify thee, that we may live to the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, and be witnesses for him, and seek to win others for him. O God, we thank thee for thy Holy Spirit, which convicts. Wilt thou bless each heart in thy presence tonight? Save any who are without Christ, who are not saved. No, God, if there are any of us that have been cold in heart, may we be drawn back to the Lord Jesus. As we come to the foot of the cross, behold the Savior who loved us and died for us. We're reminded of the words of David of old who could say, Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. O God, bless and warm each heart, we pray tonight, and receive our thanks. For the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the glory that looms just ahead, for he that shall come, and will not tarry. We thank thee in his wonderful name as we commit this service into thy good hands. In the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.